Welcome to the Venus Index podcast. And with me today is Caroline Staub, and she came in second in our transformation contest. Caroline's pictures were fantastic. And so we're just going to – this is starts the Venus interview series with all of our winners. And so for today, we're going to talk to Caroline about her transformation, everything she did throughout the transformation, and how she kind of arrived at Venus in the first place, and – any advice she has for other people. So thanks for being on. And can you, I guess, start with how did you find us in the first place?
Well, I first had found Eat Stop Eat, and Brad mentions Adonis a lot. And so I'd gone to find out, you know, what the heck is this whole Adonis Index. And when I was reading about it, I just immediately loved it. I'm a really mathematical person. And so the whole idea of the golden ratio and proportions, just, it just made so much sense. And for a little bit, I almost contemplated getting AI, but then I thought, well, I don't really want a man's proportions, you know? So I just kind of hoped that eventually you guys would put together a women's program. And then, I mean, I think it was maybe about a month later, I got an email about the teleseminar, and I bought it that night and started the workouts right away. So.
Oh, okay, cool. So you found out Eat Stop, you found out about us before Venus was even ready then.
Yes.
Yeah, it was in the works like a lot longer before that, but yeah, it took us a while to put it together. Okay, so can you give us like some background about what you did before you started doing our stuff?
I've been, you know, I played sports in high school and college, and I started lifting in high school. So you know, I've always was pretty active and working out, and before Venus, I was just kind of making my own workouts, and I generally alternated between 3 or 4 weeks of, you know, just traditional lifting, going pretty heavy. And then I would do 3 to 4 weeks of, you know, the quote unquote functional training with lots of core work and, you know, stability balls and BOSU balls and all that kind of stuff. And I just, I don't know, I didn't really have any like specific goals. Like I wanted to look better, but I didn't really know, you know, I didn't have it like classified what that means. And I was still playing water polo. So my sports performance was a little, you know, it was a part of my training. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So would you say that you worked out because you knew you should, but just didn't really?
Well, I mean, I knew I should. And I also, I kind of go crazy when I don't. Like I need it for just the stress relief and just to like be physically using my body. That's always been really important to me. So, but I kind of just felt, I guess, like, you know, just my wheels were spinning, but I wasn't going anywhere because I didn't really know where I really wanted to go.
Right. But you also weren't going to stop working out either.
Right.
Right. So you're still going to the gym with kind of directionless.
Exactly. And then you kind of get unmotivated. And so I was getting bored of my workouts like all the time. And, you know, I say I would switch it up every 3 to 4 weeks, but sometimes I would, you know, it'd be 2 weeks and I'm like, okay, I need a new workout, and I'd write a new one. So, yeah.
So you say redesigning your own workouts. So are these piecemealed? Where are they coming from? Did you have a conditioning coach for any of your sports, or were you using magazines? Like, where'd you get like the base ideas from that you designed your workouts from?
I did have, you know, I've had conditioning coaches. I've had a lot of friends that are, you know, personal trainers or bodybuilders, you know, so a lot of workouts or exercises or whatever would come from them. Mm-hmm. And I also had, you know, magazines, fitness magazines, and I would just kind of compile all these resources and just, you know, make my own program. So.
Right. So it's a bit of it's a combination of all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then have you ever actually gone through something like a transformation before, or like a dedicated, like, 12 weeks from now or 2 months from now, whatever it is, I wanted something to happen, like that kind of thing. It could even be prepping for like a season too, like anything like geared towards a goal.
No, well, I had the idea too. I've taken before pictures before, but I don't think I ever lasted longer than a couple weeks, into it.
Okay, so the intention, but not the follow through.
Yeah.
Okay, so then what got you to follow through with ours then?
I never really thought of not doing the contests here because, I started at the very beginning, and when I started, I just dove in head first. I mean, with the workouts, the community, I've never been like an online community, guru or, anything, but here
person.
I just went for it and I just, put it all out there. And, so by the time the contest came around, I was totally a believer, and that's just the next logical step was to do it. I think the community is probably like the big difference in what allowed me to follow through this time, because it's like you can just totally immerse yourself in a supportive environment, regardless of what might be going on, in your real life. So, when it comes to like transformation or whatever, I think you have to really want it, and there has to be something that's the catalyst that pushes you to the place where getting in shape becomes one of your top priorities. And if it's just something like, you'd like to be in shape, or you think it would be nice, but you don't really have the inner drive compelling you and pushing you forward, then you're just not ready. So, it took me forever, but I finally got ready.
And that's interesting you said that. You didn't say it's not for you. You just said you're not ready yet.
I don't think that before when I had started and then never finished, I don't think I had the perspective where I could see that I wasn't ready, I mean, I probably, went through thoughts of, I'm just never going to do this and I just suck, I don't know.
No, I hear what you're saying. But so your perspective now has changed. So how's your perspective from now, from then to now, now to then? Looking back, you can see how, like now you can say, I was finally ready and I did it. But before, someone might actually believe that it's just never for them. So I guess you're an example that you're kind of express it. What I'm hearing is you're saying it, now you can look back and say, I just wasn't ready yet.
Right. And I think, I didn't have any, some people, it's like a major, major life event that becomes their catalyst. Maybe they get divorced or, a loved one passes away, prematurely, and maybe it's because of bad health or something like that.
Oh, just a scare from the doctor's office, a bad health exam or something.
And I didn't have anything like that, but I did have some stuff going on that served as the catalyst. And so I think that combined with the community is what made me ready this time.
And that's a good point. I don't think everyone's catalyst will be this. I think everyone's catalyst will be unique. It'll be something that has to, we can't really tell you what it'll be, but something, you'll find something that's going to be the catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk about the community then, I guess, because it makes sense now at this point, because you brought it up.
The community, it's definitely the major factor for me, because it's what's been different, first of all, and I just, it's so positive, and it's an environment where everybody's kind of striving for the same thing. And, it's positive, and there's a lot of support, motivation, inspiration. And then it's really opened my eyes too, just to other things, because, we're women, so we don't only talk about just, diet and workouts. We talk about
I've noticed some of those threads go sideways for me, and I don't really read other things.
So it's just kind of changed my perspective a little bit, and for, I guess, like when I was heavier and I'd be going to, you know, I was always going to the gym a lot. And so I'd see women there who are working out in just tiny little outfits. And, you know, I try really hard not to be a judgmental person, but I can't, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm sure, you know, I've had thoughts go through my head, like, what is this girl doing? You know, why is she wearing that? Like, and then some people in the forum, you know, chimed in that, you know, they wear stuff like that to, it helps keep them motivated to keep their body that they've achieved. And I've never looked at it that way. So just something simple like that, it's like kind of opened my eyes and just made me a better person, you know? So I can't even, the community is just invaluable to me, and I can't put it all into words, but it's just been really, really good for me.
And so can you compare that versus what did you do as far as, okay, you know what? This is a good time. Walk us through the actual 12 weeks. Just from like a psychological and physical standpoint. So diet. So what you did with diet and the workout, like did you personalize the workout at all? What did you do with your diet? I guess we'll start there.
In the beginning I struggled a lot. Just a few days before the contest, I had some kind of crazy stuff happen at work, and I got really stressed out. I wasn't sleeping, and I just, you know, turned to my old standby and ate. And the first week I had only one forward day, and it was bad. It took me probably till about the sixth week before I really got into a pattern. And what my pattern was to do 5 forward days and 2 neutral days a week. And my psychology, I needed to allow myself to have those neutral days. And of the forward days, 2 of them were very forward. They were fasting days. I usually did 36-hour fasts because for me, it's easier to just say, okay, today is not an eating day. And because, right, you know, sometimes when I would try like breaking the fast at dinner, I wasn't always staying as low as I wanted to. And so it's just easier for me to say, okay, today's not an eating day. And then on those days too, I try to do a little bit more cardio, because even if cardio does increase my appetite, it's not even an option because today's not an eating day, you know?
Right. So that's a perfect example of true mind over matter. That, and I actually find the same thing, that once you decide, it's easier to avoid food if you've made the mental decision ahead of time that, oh, this just isn't an eating day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then, one thing too that I had to do, cause I did a lot of experimenting, and, when I told myself, okay, you know, you get 1,000 calories a day, for example, I found myself always wanting to eat like up to 1,000 calories, and maybe even sometimes I'd go over to 1,100 or whatever. And it was driving me a little bit crazy. So I realized that there's just some aspect of me and my psychology that I needed to work with. And so I told myself, okay, you know what, you can you have like an allowance or whatever of 1500 calories. And by bumping that up, it was so funny. Once I did that and really allowed myself, you know, if there's a day that you need to eat up to that, like you can, it's fine. After that, I noticed all of a sudden I was consistently able to hold way under 1,000. And, you know, every once in a while, maybe I would have a day where I really needed to go up 1500, but it was just so much easier just giving myself the permission, you know?
Oh no, that makes perfect sense.
And
to go back to your point, just for people who don't understand the positive day and neutral day concept, this is something I don't know if I brought this up or if we sort of as a group.
There was a podcast.
Oh, okay. So I'll to be clear, I'll explain what it means, and then you can kind of jump in with how you interpreted it. To me, the simplest way to view each day moving towards your goal is, did by the end of the day, are you closer to your goal? Was it a push or neutral? Like you didn't get any closer, but you didn't go backwards, or a negative day is that you actually went backwards. So for a lot of people who part of the movement is weight loss, was today a movement towards your weight loss goal, as in, did you eat less calories than you consume? And that's kind of the simplest way to categorize a positive day. A neutral day is eating sort of as many calories as you burn. So it's not backwards, but neutral. And then back is I actually overate, and now I'm a little bit behind. I have to catch up. And then you said, and I do this too, and I'm glad you brought it up, and you and I haven't even talked about this, so I guess we act the same, is you have a positive day, then you have a really positive day, which was what you said you do on your fast days. So can you kind of give us a little idea of what your positive versus really positive days were?
So for me, my BMR is about 1650 based on my LVM. You know, obviously these are all estimations, so,
right.
You know, whatever.
But that's kind of your working estimation.
Yes. And so for me, giving myself that 1500 calorie allowance, if I stayed under that, that's around 150 calorie deficit, assuming I did absolutely nothing. But of course, I'm not doing nothing. I'm being pretty active every day. So I figured if I'm under that, then that's a positive day for sure. And then, you know, obviously the more under I am, then the more positive it is. And a neutral day, I would just kind of look at as, you know, really generally looking at my BMR plus activity I did, but I would, you know, always severely underestimate
activity.
And then if it was just about the same, then that's kind of a neutral day. And a backwards day, I think we can all know what that is. And then one thing to me, I told myself, no matter what, if I had a day where I just went and ate the whole house, like, that's fine. But I was going to be honest with myself about it. And I was going to write it down. And sometimes you don't really want to face that. But, you know, maybe there's a pattern that you want to look at later on that you're going to be able to identify something. And you know, I put stickers on my calendar for representing the different things. And if I had a neutral or backwards day, I didn't get a sticker. And I like looking at having a row of stickers, like all in a row, you know, building up. Whatever, you know, I'm 5 years old inside, but that's okay. You know, and so things like that, you know, they help just keep me going.
Oh, but of course, every little bit counts, because most of everything else in your life will be tugging you the other direction. That's why we need as much, even if you have to give yourself a little sticker every day, that really matters. I actually have a little calendar on my computer, and I went online and found a green checkmark logo, and for a positive day, I put a green checkmark on the day.
Yeah.
So similar to your sticker.
Yeah, I get a green frog for a positive day. I get stars for being under my calorie goal and for doing any cardio, and then I get a little ladybug for a VI workout. So.
Oh, so you've got tons of stuff each day.
Oh yeah, I like stickers.
That's good. Oh, that's really good. Oh, so you can even tell. You can really see where you've had your best days.
Exactly. And I can, if I open up the page, because I have, it's one of those ones where you can write a little bit for every day. So, and a week fits on two pages. So if you open up the week and it's just filled with stickers, then it was a great week, you know. Maybe all I have is the ladybugs and a couple stars. It's like, okay, I need to get back on track here. So,
right. Oh, that's great. And so, that's like so simple compared to what so many other diet and workout programs that have you believe that you have to, within those stickers, it's like, oh, but did you get your five meals? Did you get your carbohydrates and protein in line? It just gets ridiculous the way other people are teaching people to do things. Like, okay, which is interesting. What did you do? For the workouts, what did you do for the workouts? Let's cover that.
Okay, so workouts, that was one thing that I was always consistent with. And, you know, I come from an athletic background, so that's probably, you know, plays a huge part in that. But I never missed a workout, and I always gave it my maximum effort. Some workouts, you know, they just were not as good as others. You know, maybe you're tired or you're sore or you're just really feeling the deficit. But I always took it day by day, and I didn't let like a kind of crappy workout affect my future workouts. You know, every day was like a new slate, and, I completed the 12 weeks of the original GI workouts, somewhere. I finished kind of like maybe 3 weeks into the contest, something like that, or not 100% sure. And then I did 5 weeks of circuits. and I kind of got burned out on the circuit.
How many circuits per day, or how many per week?
I started off doing four, and then that was
a lot, eh?
Making me happy, not happy, I should say. And so, yeah, I dropped it down to three a week. And by week five, I realized I was dreading going to the gym, which was completely the opposite of how I felt with the at the beginning of the VI workouts. Well, through the whole 12 weeks, I loved every day. I was like so excited because I was still super interested and I wasn't getting bored. And, you know, I was really feeling them. I was noticing differences. And the circuits, I mean, they work, you know, they kick your butt. But I was mentally getting drained by them.
Oh, I understand. And I feel like, and this, I'm getting a lot of good feedback on the circuits, and and they are a lot. And I think now, just as a little aside, I think now we have enough information coming back that I'm going to come up with some, I'm going to actually ask everyone how they use the circuits, but I'm going to come up with ways to combine the circuits with the main workout, because it seems as though the circuits are so much that a lot of people are having the reaction you're having. They can mm-hmm. handle them for a certain amount of time, and then they have to back off.
Yeah.
So we might even put them in as a 3 or 4 week module, then get off of them, go back to the base, then come back, or mix them between the main modules. But that's something we'll get into later. But so for anyone listening who had the same feelings on circuits, we're working on a way to combine the circuits to not get to the point of burnout, I guess we could say.
Yeah, and I can give you more of my opinions on that another time too. But yeah, so what I had to do after 5 weeks, I realized, and I got some support from people in the forum because I had blogged about it, and I decided, okay, you know what, I just need to take a little break. And so I went back to 2 weeks of the VI workouts. I just started with cycle three because I didn't want to go all the way back to cycle one. And then I thought, okay, I'm ready now to finish out the contest with just circuits. So I did the last 4 weeks just circuits, but I altered it for me and my personality, I guess. And I did only three sets. So I did all four of the mini circuits, but only three sets. Mm-hmm. And I was a much happier person.
Good. Oh, and a lot of people did that. I've heard of other people doing that, and they found that was more palatable.
Yes.
Okay, so you were going – so to review, throughout the entire contest, you were doing how many workouts per week?
My goal was always just three VI workouts. And there were a few weeks where I threw in a fourth, but the minimum was three. And then cardio, you know, I – pretty much in the very, very beginning, it was just a bonus when I felt like it. And then you guys put out the whole, you know, daily movement. Well, you talked about it in a podcast that everyone should be getting about 30 minutes a day of just some kind of movement.
Even if it's walking.
Right. So so that's when I started adding in pretty much daily cardio. And I'm not talking about anything crazy. It would usually be walking on the treadmill or elliptical or recumbent bike, but I didn't do intervals or anything. It was all steady state, you know, fairly low intensity. So
yeah. And that's was that managed? Like, how did that feel as far as how much energy you had for the week? Oh, and can you speak about I know I'm throwing two questions at you at once. Can you also speak about what it was like to, and you touched on this earlier, training in a deficit and some of those days where you just feel like you got no push, or what it was like and everyone who's gone through the contest knows it's different. Training fully fed is different than training in a deficit.
Yes. So, some days it was fine, and I kind of toyed around a little bit, I guess, with building a routine that worked. So, for a little bit, I was doing, workouts on one of my, or I should say a VI workout on one of my lifting or on my fasting days. And it was like the tail end of the 36-hour fast. Mm-hmm. And those workouts sucked. So I mean, there's just no other way to put it. And for me, cause you know, I like to challenge myself and I like to see progress, and I don't like having to put the weights back and go drop down to lower weights. Sometimes it's inevitable, but you know, if it's like every, you know, this was a Friday. So every Friday, if I was having to do that, it was kind of making me crazy. So, I just switched, you know, just switched around my fasting and lifting days so that at least I was going to be lifting on an eating day. And that, you know, does a lot for you. And, you know, and you just have to kind of put things into perspective because, you know, you need to look at overall load. So in the beginning, you're doing 10 reps of stuff. You're going to be able to hopefully lift heavier than you are doing 12 or 15 reps. And so, you know, just put things into perspective that way and realize, and then just, you know, my main goal was to be burning fat, not to be gaining muscle. So if as long as I was working hard and putting in the intensity, even if it was with, you know, a 10-pound dumbbell, then so be it, because I'm still moving towards my main goal.
Right. And you're still putting in – now, a lot of people, even on the guy side, a lot of people misinterpret this. You're putting in the maximum intensity you have available on that day.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you could lift 50 pounds a week ago and today you just happen to only have a 40-pound lift in you. That's just what you have that day, and that's totally normal, and that's fine. And you brought up a really good point. You adjusted so your lifting days were on your eating days, partly because physically it feels better, but also, and maybe even more importantly, especially in your case, psychologically it wasn't driving you nuts always having to drop weight.
Right. Yeah. And I actually, I like the feeling of fasted workouts. I'm sure probably most people can agree. You can feel like you can do a lot more with your body when your stomach is fairly empty. Mm-hmm. But it is kind of a timing thing, and you have to see. And I think for me, I kind of thought when I'm around the maybe 16 hour mark, I could still get a really decent workout in. But when I'm pushing 36 hours, the performance is not quite there. So
to the point where you'd want to make an adjustment.
Yeah. And that's just me. Everyone's different, you know? So,
oh yeah, totally. But that's part of where all of the learning comes in with this is finding your spot that keeps you moving forward. So much of this is all of this is geared towards your stickers. Like if you can have a day with three, I'm so glad you said it that way and that you have like your multiple sticker days for a sticker day, let's say. So much of this is just coordinating, like feeling when you're going to eat, when you're going to work out, like your stress levels throughout the week. Like how was this in general on your overall stress level from like, things going on at work, you know, social life, all that kind of stuff?
Well, actually this, even though, you know, probably some people would be stressed out by doing a contest and all that stuff, this really, really helped me with my stress because, every day that every week, I should say really, that I kept this commitment to myself, I was building my own, my belief in myself and my feelings of self-worth. And I finally got like the courage to talk to my boss and tell him, about the stresses I was going through. And it's been 9 years that I haven't been able to say anything. And I credit, you know, this whole process and committing to myself and everything, you know, I've learned about myself through this with actually finally, you know, giving me the push to do that. And so that's good. I've been, you know, getting, help there. And then, I've always said, I think exercise is great stress relief. So, that was how I always handled my work stress before. It was just, as soon as I get off work, my next stop is always the gym. And even, you know, just to just do something to get my mind clear. Okay, I kind of lost where I was going to go with this.
That thought to me was completed. So in this case, having an actual, even more structure to your work, because you said before your workouts were set, you worked out because you just did, but you didn't have a goal. So can I assume that having this extra structure helped even better because now you had a target? Each workout had a real reason, and the next workout after that has reason. They all kind of add up to something now instead of just going and killing an hour in the gym.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then when you can see the changes too, that really helps. And it just reinforces it and just keeps, you know, keeps feeding into the whole thing that just keeps pushing you forward. Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So then now towards the, was it the same the whole way, or can you give us an idea of, like noticing the changes along the way? Cause I know that each day there's only so much that can change in one day. Was there points where you just had to trust that things were moving forward? Like, how did you, like looking at your pictures 12 weeks later, it's like, it's a startling change, right? But looking at your pictures 24 hours later, you're like, well, I look kind of the same as 24 hours ago. Like, was there any leap of faith to believe that things were really changing, or was there like a certain point, like the fifth week, the 10th week, the fourth, when you were like, oh man, things are really changing?
Yeah, it's hard too, because I started my whole personal journey, I guess, even way before the contest. So if you look back at those, which I don't actually have those pictures posted anywhere, but maybe I'll post those. It's a huge change. So, but there was some times where, you know, my measurements weren't changing, but I still felt that I was looking better. And, for example, one thing for me that was really slow to move were my hips. And I realized at some point that, you know, gosh, my measurement hasn't changed in 3 weeks or whatever it was, but my clothes were fitting differently. And then I realized that I think that actually, you know, I was actually losing fat from my hips, but at the same time I was, you know, kind of building my butt more to, you know, a more pleasing look, I should say. So like my clothes just fit in a better way, even though the measurement wasn't really changing. So, you know, that kind of kept me going. And then I just thought, you know, if something wasn't changing for a really long time, then it's gotta be my diet, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
And it's something we talked about. You can change fat mass faster always than you can change muscle mass.
Yeah.
So we can all, everybody listening, I don't care how big or thin you are, everyone can take fat mass off so much faster than they can ever put muscle mass back on. And I like the fact, I like that you pointed out that sometimes the measurement won't change, but shape still changes. And that's kind of what we're talking about here. So, now, you mentioned something earlier, before we were on the call here, about you've been at lighter body weights before, or like similar body weight, but not in this shape.
I think it was about 2.5 years ago or so, I was able to lose a bit of weight, and I got right around to where I am. I think it was maybe like 5 pounds lighter than my end of contest weight, 4 or 5 pounds. But my waist was never this small, and my butt, I thought I'd put it, never had a waist this small or a butt this cute. So, you know, before I just, my butt was just, it was just whatever, just a normal kind of flat, boring butt. And now it's definitely, it's cuter.
Flat and boring.
Well, I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, that's a great description.
So that to me, like comparing that is just huge. Like I'm sold on VI all the way. So.
Well, and you hit, now we do have a range, right? And you actually hit your numbers. You're in the VI range now.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think I'm like 3/8 of an inch over my waist. And, so, you know, whatever. And I'm like 1/10 of an inch over on my shoulders, but, and then my hips are in the range. I'm definitely at the higher end of the range, but you know, I expect that cause that's just my natural body type.
Natural curves. Yeah. And the hips has always been a range. We never, in all the research, we can't really find a definitive pinned down number. Mm-hmm. We just give the middle number, but we also indicate the range. So where are you, what's your plan moving forward?
I just, you know, I'm kind of a perfectionist, so I'd like to hit my numbers exact, you know, bring that waist down to the exact number and, my shoulders too. So I think that's just going to be losing a bit more fat. Cause if you look at, you know, me, I'm not super lean. Like there's other people that I think they need to be leaner to get to their numbers. But I still would like to be like just a little bit leaner. And then, I also want to, just lose some weight from my legs. And I was listening to one of the AI podcasts recently. It was an older one. And I think you mentioned that like 51% of our weight is in our lower body. Is that true? Is that just for men, or is that?
Oh, it's, well, it's, it's a, well, I mean, it's a rough statistic just based on how big human legs are versus the upper body.
Right. Yeah. I mean, legs are the biggest muscles. I mean, I just know that from swimming because I was a breaststroker.
It may even be more for women because if you have a traditional female fast
right.
approach pattern.
That's true. But yeah, so when I heard that, I was like, okay, because I'm thinking I'd like to, you know, maybe lose another 15 pounds or so. And when I think about the fact that, yeah, you know, I'm sure I have 15 pounds to lose from my legs. So that's what I'm going for.
And do you now kind of setting that new goal, how does that feel? Like, do you feel like you know how to do that versus the last time you, like before the first contest sort of thing?
Yeah, I pretty much know exactly what I need to do. And I think for me, one thing that really works is just establishing a routine. And I know, you know, that, okay, variety is the spice of life. And I think that, you know, you shouldn't spend your whole life eating the same things over and over again, because as you guys have mentioned, you can develop, you know, food allergies and different kinds of problems.
A general inflexibility, yeah.
But I think that, like, for something that you're doing short term with, you know, a really defined, you know, endpoint and everything, it can help. And at least it did help for me to just have a routine. So I have like these defaults of, you know, lunch and dinner and whatever that I just knew, like, let's just have this. It's easy. I like it. It's, you know, meets my calorie goals and I don't have to think about it. And then I could just go with that. And it made it easy for me just to kind of have a pattern established. And, you know, I had my fixed fast days and I had my fixed workout days, and that just works better for me. 'Cause then it doesn't matter if someone says, oh, you know, hey, do you want to go do this night? And I know that that's a workout night, and like, oh no, I can't, I'm sorry, I have plans. And there's just no question.
Yep. And sorry, you said earlier, how quickly did, or at what point did you feel like you were really in a routine for the contest?
It took me till like week six.
And then from that, you were basically sort of on autopilot, so to speak?
Yes. And the only thing, when I mentioned before, my pattern of having the 5 forward days and 2 neutral days, about 2 weeks out, I think maybe it was closer to 10 days, 12 days maybe, I completely cut out the neutral days. And I went.
Oh, so everything was forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good. So you had stickers just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did you do? What did you do at the end? Did you do anything special? Various people were asking me all kinds of different stuff, and I didn't offer unless someone really asked, because I didn't want to confuse people. And I know that, or at least it's pretty evident that not everyone's going to react the same to final photo shoot prep. So it's really hard to say, do this exactly, like fast and then cut water. Like, everyone's going to have slightly different reactions. So what did you do as far as your final pictures?
Well, I was contemplating doing the water deplete thing. But I struggled because I know I'm not ultra lean, and I feel like that's when it really makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And I actually talked to Alicia a little bit about it because she took her photos before me. Mm-hmm. And she had done the water deplete. And after talking to her, I thought it's probably not something I want to go through. It just wasn't mentally, you know, wanting to go that crazy. And 'cause I didn't think that I would see much difference from it. So, but at the same time, obviously you don't want to be holding on to water. So, I just focused a lot on, foods that are naturally diuretic and, you know, not having a lot of sodium and just, you know, definitely keeping really well hydrated and drinking a lot of fluids. And then, I got a spray tan and,
that's fine. Yeah.
And yeah,
that's it. So no, well, hey, that's good for people to hear. So they don't think that it has to be something like really, really crazy.
Yeah, no. And I was fasted. I took the pictures, at about, you know, maybe, what was I at? Maybe like 30 hours fasted, something like that.
Yeah, that's
good. But it was my normal fasting day, you know, so just the...
Oh, yeah, you didn't have to add in... So how close are you to the actual final day?
Right now? No.
When you took your pictures.
Oh.
Did you take your pictures on the final Wednesday or?
No, I did them on Tuesday.
Okay.
Because just my work schedule, that's what worked out best for me and when I could get my friend to take the pictures. So.
Sure. Okay, so moving I guess we're coming to the end here. What would you do? You have like advice, tips, some stuff you'd say to another girl in your position who wants to make a change?
Yeah, well, one thing, I mean, okay, we all, I think people who are listening to this anyway, have gotten to the point where we understand that it's, you know, bottom line is calories. But I will say that, like, you know, we are all unique people and it's important that like you find the way that works for you and your lifestyle and your preferences. And, you know, just 'cause you read, you know, on someone's blog that they do, you know, a certain way, it doesn't mean that that's the right way for you. But you need to experiment to find the way that works for you. And I think like you really need to treat it like an experiment and you're a scientist. And so if one way doesn't work out for you, there's no need to beat yourself up or get all depressed or think of yourself as a failure. You just need to like put on your little scientist hat and realize that the experiment failed. And then you pull whatever observations and insight you can from it, and then you just move on to the next experiment. And eventually you'll find the way that really works for you. And then that's your groove, and you just ride it out until you get to your goal.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a really good way of saying it. I say it as a – well, I've said it before as a stumbling forward. It's a controlled stumble. And you even said that it took you 6 weeks to even find your groove. Even within the 12 weeks of the contest.
Yeah, I did a 6 week contest.
You did. Well, the thing is, a lot of people are like that. Like I just interviewed Dan on the guy side. He won the guys, and he got the flu in the middle of his contest run. So everyone, none of this is this. So this really isn't cut and dried. This is typically a kind of a fumbling, stumbling, fall down, get up. Mess all the way, all 12 weeks of it's kind of like that. And at the end, you will get into a groove like Caroline did, but it really isn't just 84 days of perfection. There's quite a few, like you said, there's no other way of saying it. You said it perfect. It's a mini experiment the whole way. And the next time you do this, that's a new experiment. Maybe you'll might want to do it a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, I think that was really good. Thanks for being. Do you have any parting notes, or have you kind of said your piece?
You know, just that this is, you know, it's kind of more than just losing weight. People are coming up to me all the time now and telling me that there's something different about me now, and you know, I just have like a certain glow, and I'm just happy, and. It's true. Like I'm really changed, like on the inside as well as outside. So it's been really like one of the most amazing things I've done in my life, and I'm very thankful to you guys. So thank you.
Oh well, we're thankful to even have you in the community and have you go through the transformation. I think that your transformation is going to inspire a lot of other girls, and that's something you're not going to know until someone comes up, kind of like Richard at the Unsummit.
Mm-hmm.
When Alicia essentially just attacked him. That was awesome. He had no idea. He had no idea any of the girls had ever even listened to his transformation. So that was pretty interesting. So the same thing's going to happen to you guys.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on. And for Caroline Staub, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index podcast.